I mean, your music, most each track you can be sort of an inward or an out, be sort of heard completely differently, like either inward, like you can be travelling down inwards in towards yourself, or at the same time you can listen to it in a different aspect and it could be pushing you out and exploring and pushing forward. I mean, how do you personally live your own lives? I mean, that's obviously the sound relates a lot to that, but do you live your own lives like from the inside looking out or from the outside looking in?
It's second nature for me now. If I put a track, I might play the same track 8 times in the morning or something, just to get a fix out of it, you know. And it can be any track.
I mean, if I'm sitting around like with tracks on, if I'm just, you know, listening to some Arthur Russell or something, then it's definitely the outside in. But there's something about what he's doing that touches me so deeply that I'm kind of, I'm involved. Do you know what I mean? On an intimate level, we're listening to it, and there's something going on. I know that I'm responsible for a lot of that feeling. So, I guess, yeah, the same things, you could apply that to anything that I'm into, including our stuff. And I think, I don't know, it's a kind of weird thing, because I imagine situations where the work can exist, but I almost know that the situations don't exist, you know. And yet the work somehow still manages to get out there, and people listen to it and say they like it. So I don't know really what situation they're hearing it in, because it probably isn't what I imagined when we did the track, you know what I mean? But I think that's because we like to imagine imaginary spaces or situations where that work could exist. I think for a lot of our tracks, you know, the more, I think it's more obvious with the beaty ones, but like, I don't know, we kind of imagine that they'd be used in the kind of clubs that don't exist, you know, but in some kind of clubs still, you know, or like, and the more, you know, the less kind of obviously club orientated ones or influenced ones, I don't know, maybe I just imagine a space or a situation where people would want to listen to that. I'm not sure if those situations even exist, you know?
I mean, some kind of fantasy club where repetitions are still underpinning everything, but what repeats isn't the same every time. You know what I mean? People get into something a bit different, a bit challenging, and a bit breakneck as well, a bit edgy without being just loud and obnoxious sounding. Something delicate but edgy, you know. All these things that are usually contrasting ideas don't have to be. And I think we used to go out to these weird clubs in Manchester, like Conspiracy and Home, and even like sort of the more naff sort of villagey clubs like Hippos, where they still played amazing music. And they played music from all over the world. You know, Fused from Detroit did a live set one evening, and we weren't expecting it, and it was just mind-blowing. At the same time, they'd be playing Future Sound of London tracks way before the time of the night when you'd normally expect that stuff. You know, your warm-up DJs is sometimes play the more edgy material than the highlight DJ'd wave his records around at the end, because the big hit was on, you know. Those sort of moments, we always wanted those underdog moments to become the major aspect of a night out, and I suppose now we're just doing it, you know. Like I said, we're doing it 2.5 hours into the morning, you know. I think that's how we've managed to achieve it, by doing it ourselves and being a bit selfish about it as well, saying we want to do it like this, and this is how you lot should listen to it too. And a few people have come back to us ever since we started doing tracks and going, I really feel what you're doing. You can't really express any more than that. We can't, it's not like we don't trust it.
It only takes one person to step up and say, right, I really got that, that was nice, and you feel like you did something worthy, you know.
I mean, the music's very visual as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's the most important sense, do you think, the visual aspect or the sound?
Well, it's touch and smell are a lot more powerful to me. Touch, probably my most sensitive sense, and smell. Really sensitive to smells for some reason.
You can't really go on tour with a smell, though, can you?
No. I'm sure it's going to happen one day.
Smoke.
Someone's going to do it, you know.
Maybe in the 60s that was probably big.
But, like, yeah, in terms of what we're producing, I mean, I think I like sound more, because it surrounds you. I mean, it's coming from a specific point, usually, but in a club situation, I mean, most of the situations where I grew up hearing loud music, it was surrounding me. It was almost like it was all around me. It was sort of inside me as well. And rather than, I think visual stuff is different, because you're kind of looking at it. There's a very definite sense that there's an object, even though you might be looking at a screen with representations of objects or just abstract whatever it's got on it. You're still looking at a screen, you know, the screen's an object. And I think with speakers, it doesn't happen as much. You do find people staring at speakers, but do you know what I mean? For different, it's a different thing. On, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, but I like the kind of, I like the physical nature of sound. I like the fact that you can feel it, like literally, when a track's well produced. It has an absolute physical effect besides what you're hearing.
It's
a
time-based form as well, isn't it? You can't help but feel the passage of time, and you can mess with that with sound. You can make people feel like something long or short has occurred.
It's still sound, is there? You know. That's the thing. I mean, sound's always moving. It's a bit like film, but you can't have a sound photograph. Mm. There's no such thing as just a snapshot of it.
Talking of film, is there a movie that you wish you would have been able to score?
Not in that respect, no. But there's lots of producers and directors that we're well into, and like, you know, people who even make their own sound. You know, like people like John Carpenter who make their own soundtracks. But
if I like a film, it's probably already got a good soundtrack of sorts. I don't know, that's probably quite a big part of why I like it in the first place. Probably wouldn't want to mess with it too much. You know?
We're well up for doing one. If someone could somehow give us a film and we could see the potential in what we do for it as well, as just thinking, oh God, it's just a load of visuals without any connected audio or set noise. But we've worked with Sync a lot, you know, we've done a few bits of adverts and a few one-offs for websites that don't really get anywhere or not big things, but give us the experience to and something to chew on, you know, in terms of syncing and making audio go with visual, you know.
Okay. I mean, you've been together for so long now and you've taken your sound all over the world. Is there somewhere that you'd really like to take your sound that you haven't taken yet?
Much of Asia, to be honest.
Yeah, China, South America.
Yeah.
Is there, do you know if there's anything in the pipeline? Maybe you could push something in?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking to people already about them two places specifically.
We've got friends from Miami who are always going, hey, we can hook you up in Peru and stuff, and we've been that close to taking it, but it's just never been the right sort of knock-on effect to make it actually happen, like everywhere else. But
I think now with contacts that we've got in America, we could probably make South America at least half work, and I think once you've been around there once, it's a damn sight easier going around there again. You know, it's just a case of working out where to play and where not, and what routes you can do, really. But yeah, I mean, I'd really like to do South America. We've been offered Eastern Europe as well, and Russia, which we went to Russia about 11 years ago. That was just totally intense. I'm quite into the idea of doing an Eastern Europe bit as well. I don't know, I mean, I'm quite up for playing in places that are a bit unusual. I've got to go to Indonesia fairly recently as well. I reckon I'm going to do that. I think off the beaten track, usually. I mean, we were like that back when we started out touring. I always felt like we were off the beaten track. Even when we went around America, it felt like that, because there'd been nobody out there really doing the kind of shit that we were doing.
Yeah.
A few hardcore kids had been out there and, you know, other things from around that era, but there'd been nothing really like what we were doing. And we've kind of felt a bit frontierish then. You know, I think, I don't know, I quite like exploring new places, especially where, you know that it's going to be interesting as a place, but you've no idea what the crowd are going to be like.
Yeah.
You know, I get more out of those kind of gigs, really.
Is that the sort of thing you're looking forward to the future? I mean, what do you see the future of Orteca being?
Who knows? I mean, it's hard for us to even imagine we've done this, got like this, basically, in the last 15, 18 years, because we just knew the big kids out there who got our music in the same way we get other people's music and feel deeply about buying other people's music.
Yeah.
I assume there'd be a handful out there somewhere that felt the same as us about certain sort of tracks or certain sounds and certain, you know, music. But it makes it really impossible to project another wedge of what's happened so far projected forward. It's really hard to imagine. But yeah, we just know that there's certain places we can sort of muscle in on certain places and get to play some parts of the world that we've no hope of playing a long time ago. You know.
Well, it's nice to know that there is uncharted territory that you can keep pushing.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, there's no.
A lot of these places like China, we ain't even got distribution in China. We'd literally be going out there and paying for the gigs with other gigs that we might get in Japan or whatever. Okay. That's the only way we're going to get to do it. But you know, when do you get to go to China? You know,
it's almost like poisonous for a lot of people because there's no knock-on effect. There's no chain reaction with selling or promotion or radio play, but
to do
a lot of kids sort of heads in, like, not in a negative sense, just in that, you know, you get some people come up to you and go, oh, phew, where did that come from?
Yeah.
You know, and I liked it.
It really made me think.
They're just speechless because they've just never seen anything, heard anything like it before.
Yeah, it's like Moscow, like 94. We're playing this massive old theatre, and we want you to kill all the lights. So they do, but it's totally black. You can't see anything. They turn all the exit signs off, and they just got this laser pointing into the audience for about the hour that we're on. And the lights came back up, and all the kids had come down. They'd dropped into this like 15-foot camera pit at the bottom, totally going for it. You know what I mean? It's shit like that basically that keeps you going, because they're the more interesting gigs where the audience are actually surprising us.
Yeah,
they're giving us something. We leave there with just having had just as much of an experience as they did. You know, so
that's a bit like Osaka. I mean, they all stayed in the same place all night, but. I don't know, something was coming back very strong.
It's just because they haven't had the time to learn the routine, have they? So they're just responding in this more basic gut way, and I think I get more out of that, you know, because it's almost like it's new to them and they're embracing it. They're not closed to it. They haven't had time to shut whatever switches off.
Like, if you compare it to, say, an old... I mean, I'll spare the latest exception, because, like, we played London last time and it did a loads better than we've done before. I mean, it was busy. I mean, we're often busy, but it's usually most people trying to work... come out and see what was going on,
sure,
you know, and how weird we're trying to be, or, you know, those kind of angles. And it's just nice to have somebody who doesn't really go, oh, I'm gone, alright, okay, well, go on then, here's your hour, see what you can do for me. It was just like, what's this, you know, this is brilliant, never had anything like this before. Yeah, it's actually still working, it's connecting.
I mean, this 4 years gap has actually done us some good, because originally we were going to tour with Draft. Then we decided we didn't want to, because we'd been getting so into composition and non-real time where it didn't seem to make sense with where our heads were, so we didn't tour it. So it's been 4 years since we last came out, and loads of the kids, especially in America, were really young. All the kids that were really going for it were really young, and so open. I've never seen anything like it. You know?
So it's the first time that they've really experienced
live
anyway.
Yeah. You know, they might have seen previews last year or whatever was around, but they've had this bit of a void where we were sitting before, and it's been more interesting for us in a way, playing to people that are unaccustomed to it, because they're not, you know, their expectations aren't getting in the way of anything.
If you could have your very own Orteca day anywhere, absolutely anywhere, with a couple of two or three bands supporting you, maybe, and a couple of films to be shown as well, what would you choose for that?
Well, we sort of did that. We did ATP, didn't we? We did this. Somebody offered us like a weekend party at a big space in South England.
Oh, that's the Campus Sands, yeah. Okay.
ATP, yeah. And we tried to do it that sort of thing then, you know.
Yeah.
Get all the artists we could.
Well. I mean, we had a TV station for 3 days, so we was playing like old programmes and films and all sorts.
And artists, musicals, and all night.
Okay. Was that good fun?
So, yeah, it was brilliant, but there's a big lead up of ideas and lists and.
But I mean, if it was only three, you know, it was like two other artists and two films. Well, I'm having Stalker, and for the artist, Yasuneo. Yasuneo Tone. For the artist, and the film can
is
be Stalker.
Yeah.
So you have to pick two now.
Where would you like this to take place?
Antarctica.
I actually had a friend who I asked her, she's a big fan, she's coming tonight, and I asked her if she had a question for you, and she actually texted me back saying, ask them whether penguins are birds or not. So as the Antarctica's come up, I'll just mention that. I wasn't
they're
going
birds,
to
aren't they?
Yeah, they're birds, they're definitely birds.
Okay, that's simple.
Yeah.
Any band or anything, or
any band or anything? I think it'd have to be on the top of a mountain, mostly above the clouds, under the sunlight. Some weird atmospheric tricks of the eye going on, clear sound, outdoor sound system, suspended from cranes, possibly wobbling a bit like a proper festival,
and some oxygen
in phases, not that high, I won't have it that high, but yeah. Hot enough for people to lie on the snow but not get a chill, you know, that sort of thing.
With an audience of three or something.
No, it would, because they'd just be going,
crashing all the time. Artists, I don't know.
Anyway, I'm sure you'd do the day proud.
Yeah, that's it. But I mean, it's just one of millions, isn't it? I feel so sorry.
Yeah,
not boogie down Bronx by accident. They're getting stiff by all your favourite artists. That'd be fun. Get Todd Terry round.
Stuart and the Mafia.
Yeah.
Quite good.
Anyway, well, I think this list can go on. I'll leave you to think about that. And you can
I have
just
Augustus Pablo and Basic Channel all at once. Doing a fast set that they've never done before. Just to add it, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks, boys, for your time. Really appreciate it. You had a good show tonight. Looking forward to it. Could you just leave us with one thought for the day?
A thought?
Just leave us with one thought for the day, if you would.
Alpha Wheel.
Thank you very much. Take care.